Welcome, everybody, to the Ace and Hammer podcast, the Without Limits podcast. It is May 8th, 2024, and today's subject is go get it versus genetics. That would be a Matthew Hammer, Hammersmith subject. That's what he wanted to discuss today. I think it's a good one because people can blame, well, I don't have any talent, or that guy's got a ton of talent, but he can't do X or has done this, right? So, I mean, there's so much around this and so many determining factors on, you know, genetically talented runners versus hardworking runners without a genetic advantage and, you know, the mental, physical, and all that goes around with it. So why'd you pick this subject?
I mean, I think I've always been fascinated with, one, the performance of human beings. Actually, when I went to Eastern Michigan, our alma mater, my first degree subject, I was going to be, you know, I was going to get into exercise science. So I was taking kinesiology. I was taking all those athletic performance classes. And obviously, if you're a cross country and track runner, your main goal is to, you know, enhance the performance of your body to just run faster. And so I've always kind of like the idea that hard work obviously plays a huge role in obviously the performance of athletes, but kind of when you dig deeper on the underlying surface of the human body, there are so many factors that really play into, you know, how fast we can run, how strong we are. And that's obviously our genetics. So kind of jumping into it, we've kind of outlined five areas where genetics plays the largest role in human performance. And the first one is muscle fiber composition. So in theory, when we're born, we have a certain number of fast twitch muscle fibers versus slow twitch muscle fibers. It's kind of the reason why you see Usain Bolt running the 100 and 200 meter dash. Obviously, he's worked very hard. Obviously, he's one of the greatest all-time sprinters of all time. But if you did a body composition of his muscle fibers, you would probably find out that he is primarily 99.9% fast twitch muscle fibers. Would you agree, Tom?
I would. You know, the interesting thing that we'll never find out, though, is what if he would have grown up a distance runner?
Yeah. We had this conversation before.
Yeah, it's so this is where the fun and the conversation comes in, because it's all hypothetical. All these hypotheticals, right, of any athlete. But yes, he was probably born with an insane amount of fast twitch muscle fibers and had, you know, power that he developed, you know, from a young age, you know, that was quite obvious above the rest, you know. And it is pretty interesting how somebody can be born with that kind of talent and then, you know, turn into the greatest sprinter of all time or the fastest human being of all time, you know. And you could easily say, well, gosh, he can run a 200 and what was it, 19 something, and then couldn't he run a 400 or an 800 and just
41,
sustain it?
42? Yeah, you know, I so when I see him run, and I love watching David Rudisha run, who I think still holds the world record for the 800, and he's a pretty big guy. I think like 6'2", 6'3", 165, 170. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Usain is pretty tall, maybe not as heavy. But I look at those two athletes, I'm like, why didn't Usain Bolt run the 800? Like, why wasn't he a 4.8 guy? You don't see too many guys look like Usain Bolt that run the 100 as tall and lengthy as he is. But he just, I think he had that muscle fiber composition that allowed him to do that. So not really to get in too much in the weeds, but obviously we want to relate this to, you know, common athletes. I was actually just reading an article on a girl who just ran a 2:38 marathon after losing 140 pounds. She was like a 250 pound walk to 5K runner, and after 4 years of losing all this weight, she just ran a 2:38. So it's like, you know, you have these athletes that like just kind of, you know, I guess, you know, get into running at a later stage that had probably so much potential at a younger age, it just never really got into it or had a chance or or whatever. So,
and that's the hard work and effort part of it.
For
and
sure.
They may not know they had the genetic the ability, but like you said, you were kind of going in this order. So let's stay on that. So you said muscle fiber composition's one, and then VO2 max, you know, we're born obviously with, a certain maximal oxygen uptake, you know, and that can be influenced by training, right? Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do a VO2 max test at Eastern?
I did one here at the hospital. You know, okay. I do need to do another one to find out where my threshold heart rate was. I wanted to find out where my threshold heart rate was, you know, and threshold is, I've been listening to a lot of deep podcasts about LT1, LT2. There's so many things now that these exercise scientists, especially overseas, are talking about that, you know, are probably too detailed for this podcast. Just the way the terminology is stated now, you know, we talk about threshold and how we can lower our threshold time, but really our threshold heart rate is what it is, right? So you can raise it a little bit, but threshold is 172 and I can run 520 miles at 172, the goal would be, well, how do I run 510s at 172? Right. Mm-hmm. Efficiency comes into that play. But anyway, we're still on genetics itself. So say genetics plays a key role in athletic performance. You discussed muscle fiber composition, VO2 max, energy metabolism, injury susceptibility, recovery, and mental attributes. So like, you know, in this discussion, we could sit here and talk about every way that these things are influenced throughout your life to then combine. And like, if you took one of those circle graphs where one circle overlaps the other, the hard work and effort part of it is just a huge part of this, right? Yeah. How could you ever find out what your ability level is without actually testing the hard work part of it, right? And, you know, so people just have no idea what their limitations are because most of people don't push them, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And I look at you look at someone's parents and that's not always the tall tale story of what or who they're going to be, you know? But then if you take two distance runners who are, decide to get married and they have kids, what are those kids most likely going to be?
Distance runners.
Distance runners, you know?
I hope so.
Maybe not, maybe gymnast, but you know that they're going to have some kind of genetic,
yeah,
you know, genetic talent, you know, in this.
Well, so I think it's important. Go ahead.
So no, I was going to ask you, what do you think, how do you, when a kid grows up, you know, they're 8, 9, 10 years old, you definitely can start to see some of these attributes come out and you see some of the kids who aren't quite as coordinated, but what made you think about this and what is your goal in getting, what message do you want to get out there about genetics versus hard work?
I think it's important to, as an athlete, especially if you've been doing this for a few years, is to at least accept your genetic disposition to whatever sport that you're in, whether it's distance running or swimming or doing gymnastics or whatever. And then just simply, you have to accept, like, all right, my injury susceptibility, that is a genetic factor in human performance, especially with distance running. I know athletes here, you know, in Greenville that are, you know, great marathoners, half marathoners, triathletes that can only do, Ricky Flynn here locally, great professional triathlete, ran a 2:12 marathon. I think was the only marathoner to negative split the 2012 or maybe 2016 Olympic trials.
2012 Olympic trials. Yeah.
Yeah. He can only run 35 to 40 miles a week. If he runs more than 40 miles a week, he gets a stress fracture every time. I have run 10 straight weeks of 100 plus miles a week. I have never in my life ever had a stress fracture. So I am just genetically predisposed and not having stress fractures, where an athlete like Ricky, who can do a third of the volume and still outperform me in several events. So you just have to be able to accept, like, this is where my genetic lines up. I really want to meet this goal. You have to build and find a plan suited for you to be able to reach that goal that has to align with, you know, who you are as a person. And obviously, you know, the non-genetic factors of like, you know, working hard, like you got to have a great mindset and you have to be consistent. You have to have a good, you know, lifestyle, your environment, what you eat, you know, how you sleep, all of those things play a huge role that aren't really aligned or aren't really tied into your genetics. Those are ultimately the most important factors in performance. You can have all the genetic dispositions to be a great athlete, but if you don't align them with, you know, how tough are you? Like, you know, are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to be consistent? Are you willing to, you know, get 8 hours of sleep, not go out on Friday night? Are you willing to eat and drink right? All of those things. But I just think it's important to address your not genetic limitations, just who you are as a person, and say, I need to develop a very integral and specific plan for me to reach my goals that might not be suited to another athlete that runs around the same time as me, maybe the same age, maybe the same gender, same performance levels, but they have different genetics than I do. Therefore, it's important for me to have a different plan.
Yeah. I like everything you said. I think that where you're going with it is a good message for your general intermediate age group athlete. Mm-hmm. Where do they go and how do they fit into the grand scheme of things? Because a lot of people that we coach, not all, of course, there's the bell curve, right? The ones that have been previous runners in high school and college that found their genetic ability early. And then there's ones that, you know, really lived a sedentary lifestyle until they figured out, hey, I want to really do this. And they're starting from scratch at, you know, maybe 35, 40 or 45 years old and have 50 pounds to lose, like you're talking about, you know, and really want to get, and then you have everybody in the middle. It's the one great thing I love about our sport, endurance sports, running, triathlon, whatever it is that anybody can do it if they really do have the discipline to do it. Anybody can do it. I think at a young age, anybody can learn how to throw a ball or throw a frisbee or shoot a basketball, you know, or kick a soccer ball, right? Anybody can learn those things young. It just, some might be faster than others or might have more ability to see things that others don't. But in endurance sports, I think what drives our elites is the success of winning competition, right? Just like you and I, we said earlier that we loved the competition. We don't always love the sport itself. Now being 40, I love the sport because I know what it does mentally, physically, and, you know, spiritually at that level, you know, how it grounds me and keeps me on pace and things like that. But if you're an athlete out there and you're saying, well, I'm just not genetically talented to be up with X person, you may be right in some respect, but that doesn't mean that you are limited to where you're at. And this really plays into the name of our company, Without Limits, right? I have heard people read my shirt and say, oh, I have limits. It's really funny. But I go, well, physical maybe, but mental, do you have mental limits? And yeah, they have no answer. And that's just where this comes in. It's like, okay, can I run a 4 minute mile anymore? I have no idea because I'm not going to try. You know, I don't think I'm going to ever try, you know, a 4:09, whatever I did, or maybe get down there. Could I do it? I mean, if I gave up my job, you know, eliminated everything else in my life, got perfect structure and coaching, and had the best environment possible to do so, it's possible. Why? Because yeah, I can still run a 56-second 400.
Because Nick Willis is still doing it. That's why.
Well, I don't know if he is or not. Yeah, I'm not sure if he is.
I think he might have broke the. I think he broke his streak. He's been doing it since he was like 19 years old, and he's 42 now, I think.
But if you're in, where I'm going with this is if you're an intermediate athlete, let's say you run 24 minutes in the 5K. Okay. Who says you can't run 23:59? Or 23:58.
Yeah.
And then when you run 23:58, why can't you run 23:57? My sister and her husband, they used to always say, run 1 second faster than your last race. It really is a good psychological way to look at it, because people want to run minutes faster. And if they don't run minutes faster, they don't see themselves like a, they don't see themselves as improving, but you really are. You really are improving. You can be 1 second faster than your best.
Yeah.
You can be. And do genetics have to play a part in that? No, because the human body can move. You can always be, you can always work on flexibility. You can always work on rolling. You can always work on sleep. You can always work on these attributes that make you a better athlete. But yes, the difference between me and Ingebrigtsen, like I could do all of his workouts. I could do everything he's doing, but I'll never be that fast.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. You know, it's just, I'm just not. I don't have his body or his heart or his VO2 max. Like there are those differences, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you could take a 40-year-old version of me and, you know, completely have that person become become a distance swimmer. And my correlation is what's that?
A couch potato. You could be a couch potato.
Yeah, but I'm just using another sport as an example, but let's just say I work just as hard in only swimming as I do in running. I probably wouldn't be as good of a swimmer as I am a runner, because my body type is made a little bit more for running, not for swimming. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though I can be a good swimmer, but I'm talking about the level of runner that I could, like, let's, like, for instance, all right, I can run a 15-minute 5K, but whatever that's equivalent to in swimming in the mile or something like that, I don't know if I could do that equivalent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though if I train my whole life, you know, it's just it's such an interesting subject, because I do believe this is a versus, right? Genetics versus go get it. I think the go get it's are going to be more successful in everything they do, regardless of their genetic talent.
Yeah, I agree. So whenever I'm watching professional sports, you know, the Olympics, for that matter, it's coming up. I see these athletes. I mean, man, these are the top 1%. I wonder how many more athletes are out there that have never experienced their full potential that could also be on the same stage. So you kind of have this potential energy and kinetic energy. Potential meaning this is what this athlete or this person has the ability to do, and they might have never run a 5K in their life, although they have the genetic ability to probably run one of the fastest 5Ks ever. But then the 99% of all athletes, the athletes we coach, the high school athletes, the age groupers, the professionals, they are the kinetic energy, the people that are actually doing it, the people that are moving one, putting one foot in front of the other. You know, they might have started when they were 12 years old with a 3K race or a kids fun run or whatever. Or maybe they started in their 30s. They did a 5K in 35 minutes. Well, after a few years of training, that kinetic energy just keeps improving. It gets faster. It gets more momentum. Then they're all of a sudden they're running, you know, a sub 20-minute 5K or sub 15-minute 5K.
So 10,000 hours, right? 10,000 hours. You got to put 10,000 hours to add something to perfect it.
To be a perfectionist, yeah. And then even in running, as you get older, you want to be a professional. Like, I understand I'm never probably going to be a 4:10 miler ever again. But I also want to be the best 40-year-old that I can be. And then, you know, when I'm 50, like, am I still doing this? You know, we still want to keep moving. That kinetic energy is what drives, I think, the majority of athletes, because we don't have the same genetic factors as Ingebrigtsen or you know, whoever. I mean, Usain right. Bolt, like, you know, these freaks of nature are the 1% of the 1% that just were able to be in the right position at the right time. Many of us have the potential, but we don't. And we as coaches are trying to educate, teach, mold, mentor athletes to change the non-genetic sides. Like, that is our goal. We say, this is who you are. This is what you're capable of. We're going to push those boundaries to see what your actual full potential is through, you know, you got to change your lifestyle. You got to be consistent. You got to work hard. You got to put in the, you know, you got to put in the time.
Well, there's just so much momentum too that you gain from improvement. And so then you say, well, how far can I take this? And then, you know, I'm sure there's some point where the light bulb goes off in your life that, hey, I'm going to stay on this journey and path and run through this process and do it the best I can under good guidance. You know, of course, that's one part of this. And then there's that light bulb eventually shuts off at some point in their life where like, hey, you know what? I want to be, I still want to stay fit. I still want to do some of these things, but I'm not, I really just want to be a finisher, or I want to do a half marathon for fun. And I'm out of the competition phase, right? I want to start helping mm-hmm. other people that still have the ability to do this, to do it. An example of genetics and then the sport that you're trying to be your best in is a Lance Armstrong. Okay. You got, 7-time Tour de France. Is that seven? I don't know the exact number, but
some redacted.
Yeah. And at the time, right. Whatever. We know he was doing, you know, illegal substances, which that's a moot point here. The point is he's run a 2:46 marathon. It's not that great.
Yeah.
For an elite runner to his caliber, if you compare a Tour de France winner to the best marathoner, mm-hmm. well, you're talking about low 2 hours. So he's 45 minutes away from a comparable athlete to him in cycling versus running. So like, why? He has a huge, massive VO2 max. Because he molded his body to become a cyclist. So then you get down to all these micro categories: discipline, efficiency in running, body type, like you said, muscular, what was it?
The fast
muscular fiber composition,
yeah.
Right? Fast twitch versus slow twitch, natural talent, his injury susceptibility, the adaptation to running versus cycling. I know guys who could kick my ass on the bike, but they couldn't run a dime. They couldn't run a mile, you know? That's what's kind of crazy about genetics versus, you know, hard work. And so I think it's really up to parents and coaches to see the athlete's potential. If you start down at the kid's level, get your kid in any sport they can be in from the young age to the time they're maybe 12 or 13 and see where they blossom and see where they evolve into the athlete that they want to be. And then they pick, right? Then can see it, you know, then you can see, oh, wow, this is like Ritzenhain's daughter. Wasn't she like a gymnast or something? Like I should have my facts, but she was doing some other sport before she all of a sudden emerged into the cross country scene and won, you know?
And this is not a performance based, like it is a performance based conversation, but I guess for us, like one of my main goals as a coach is if I'm coaching a 12 year old or a 22 year old or a 42 year old, I want them to perform well and increase their performance and run faster, stronger. But ultimately, I want them to be in the sport because of the non-genetic factors that it helps. Like if you work hard, if you become consistent, you change your lifestyle, all of those things in sport are going to transition into your actual life. And you'll just be a better person, having nothing to do with the actual performance of the sport itself. It just things carry over. So like getting your kid into sport has nothing to do with the performance of him when he's 2 years old or 12 years old. It really has to do with like the characteristics that he or she will have when they're 22, 32, 42 out in the real world. So,
oh yeah. I mean, did you read the, my Monday motivation this week? I actually, Colin posted it and then I made I thought it was a great thing by Steve Magnus.
I did read that. I love Steve Magnus.
So it says, kids need sports, something that is hard, where there is a concrete outcome you can't hide from that forces you to deal with the emotions of a tough loss, but you're doing it with a diverse group that sheds expectations and lets you see commonalities. Actually, nowadays, adults need sports, not to watch, but to play. We lose out on the above as adults. Mostly, we lost out on things that are real and that force us to lower the barrier to become together as a group. What a great, like, thought by Steve and putting that out there, because it kind of resonated with me. That was one that just really, that I read, I'm like, this is exactly what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we have we have adults that need sport and they're not all successful in it the first round. You know, we have adults that go out there and try to qualify for Boston and they miss the mark, you know, and they miss the mark for a year or two. But then exactly what, you know, some of the attributes of hard work and effort are is they had the mental toughness, the dedication, the perseverance, the resilience, and the discipline to continue for 1, 2, 3, or 4 years, however long their journey was, to get the mark. Or they aged up.
Yeah, or they aged up. A lot of guys I know are like, oh, I just can't wait till I turn 50.
Yeah. But no, but seriously though, but you're 100% right. I mean, just genetics are so, it is amazing to see what people can become, but they really mold themselves through.
Yeah. None of that matters. None of
that hard work effect.
For the 99% of us, none of that really matters. It is cool for us to sit back and watch the greats do what they do, but you know, we need to overcome our genetic factors and kind of get to and just go get it. Just get after it.
Go get it. And it may take more than a season. And it's going to take more than a 16-week training program. It's going to take more than a year of running or whatever you're doing. It's going to take year after year after year after year of discipline, resilience, accountability, determination. And mentally being engaged and willing to be coachable. Like if you're a coach and you think you know it all, then you're not a good coach. If you're an athlete, and you think you know it all, you're not a good athlete. You know, it's just like, I am a sponge for knowledge. I want to learn more every single day. So are my genetics, you know, if you look at back at how I scored on the ACT test back in high school, I would have come out as possibly a dumbass. But then what did I do? I retested and I scored much, much higher. You know, I think I got a 20.
I thought you were going to say you were still a dumbass.
Yeah, that's possible. But no, I mean, but the first time though, I mean, if you just look at the mental genetics, I mean, we all have mental genetics. Some people are very fluid in their speech. Some people aren't. I look back at some of my old emails of writing. I mean, this conversation could never end, you know, it just relates to life, sport, and everything, you know?
Well, I think it's important what you said about, you know, it takes time, you know, as a coach and or an athlete, sometimes I will pigeonhole athletes into a certain, you know, area because of just their recent performances or their work effort or whatever. Same thing as an athlete. If you consistently run a 25-minute 5K, you're going to be sitting there thinking, I'm never going to break 20 minutes. Well, maybe you're not doing, you know, the training or whatever. I had an athlete, Sitka Arnold, that was in our youth program, and he was just the slowest kid. He was just so slow. I mean, he I don't even think he really wanted to be there. And he did our program for a couple years, and this was like when he was like 10 or 11. Now he's a sophomore over at Greenville High and just ran a 2 flat 800. And I'm like, it just blows my mind where kids can go. So it's really important not to, you know, corner yourself into a limitation. I mean, our company is truly without limits. You know, if it's obviously it's on the mental side, if you just keep being persistent, consistent, you know, stick with it, go get it. Like you can achieve your goals.
In my opinion, do we have genetic limits? We do. But will you ever find them from a mental standpoint?
No.
You won't. That's the great thing. You could get older. You could get into your 60s or 70s and you have new abilities to do different things at those ages. Just like, you know, from age 20 to 40. Gosh, I mean, if I knew the things I knew now when I was 20, I would have been, you know, a different athlete probably. You know, and I'm sure Goodrich is, if he ever listens to this, he'd be like, I know, I told you.
Yeah.
Tommy boy. But you know, there are no mental limitations. In my opinion, God gave us brains, you know, so that we could continue to create and expand and do things that we never thought possible, you know, and just, you have to search for it though. You have to be able to get out there and say, all right, I want to be better. I want to ride this wave of, you know, fitness or whatever it is. You know, I've got athletes who are back of the Packers that I have that conversation once in a while with them. I'm like, do you want to get better? Do you want to improve? And something has to click in their own mind that says, no more of this. I'm going to take this to the next level. I'm sick of being at this stage, or I'm sick of being at this spot, and I want to improve. I don't want to be a 30-minute 5K-er anymore. I want to break 25. And they will. I've had athletes, I've seen them, you know, start at 330, 340 marathons, and now these people are training correctly and they start to get the bug and they're breaking 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could you tell somebody that's running 330 to 340 that they don't have the possibilities to get down in the low threes?
Yeah, for sure.
Or even 320. And then we're talking about marathon here, which has a lot more play. You know, it has a lot more room for improvement than the mile does, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you get down in the low miles, when you get down to the mile and you're getting down to the, like your maximum time to take a second off is huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
A couple seconds off is huge, and it takes, could be a whole season to take that, you know?
Yeah.
I remember in college, it took me two seasons to go from 414 to 409.
Oh, it took me four seasons to go from 4. I ran 427 as a sophomore in high school. As a sophomore in college, I was still running 427. Finally, by my senior year, I was like about ready to quit. And within a 6-week time frame, I went from 424 down to 410. Like that, like 17 seconds is huge in a mile. And to do it in 6 weeks, something clicked. I mean, really, like once it clicked in my head, I'm like, oh, I don't know why I wasn't doing this before.
Stay in the game. Stay in the arena. Yeah. Stay in the game, but have fun. You got to have fun doing it. You know, it's like this. If it's a chore and it becomes a stressor.
Yeah, it stinks.
It will be no more fun. You know,
yeah.
We like another example of this, genetics versus hard work. I had a master's athlete. She wanted to break 3 hours in the marathon, and she went from running several in a row and being in the low threes and kind of staying at that plateau. And she shifted to ultra marathons, the opposite of what you would think, right? Like a lot of times my advice is to shift to the shorter distances for a while,
mm-hmm.
to try to get faster. She shifted to the longer distances, had more fun, then shifted to swim run. And then she found herself in really good shape in the fall, and then ran 2:59.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, but shifted the mindset. She was having fun doing it. She was enjoying all the different kinds of training, the different variety, and the maybe even, I would say, not so much pressure on every marathon that you sign up for. Because if you keep signing up for the same thing over and over and over, all of a sudden you're not hitting a goal that you want to hit. You start getting the monkey on your back. And every time you line up, you feel like there's this pressure. Oh my gosh, I got one more chance. Oh my gosh. And that's how much the mental pressure and the mental toughness and the burnout can take precedence over your actual ability and talent. You got to be able to shift. You have to be able to shift that. Anything else on this?
No, I think that's good. You look a lot better than you did at the beginning of the podcast.
I mean, man, you know,
invigorating conversation,
hard work and genetics, right? As the day goes on, I genetically look better. Here we go. See,
I don't know about that. All right. We do this again next week.
Next week. Right, yes, sir.
You picking the topic next week.
I will pick the topic. If you guys have any topics out there that you want us to talk about, we would love to. There are a lot of podcasts out there on different topics, but we like to take our own little corner here at Without Limits. And good luck out there, folks. Good luck.